This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Labor Day may be a holiday, but it's a holiday that makes me edgy, because when it's over, it means back to school. Okay, I'm not in school anymore, but at work, it means the summer slowdown is over and the pressure's on. In recognition of those back-to-work, back-to-school anxieties, we're going to hear from Ricky Gervais, the co-creator and star of the sitcom The Office, one of the funniest shows about office life. Gervais plays David Brent, a mid-level office manager in a small branch of a paper company who thinks he's hip, funny, smart, a wise philosopher, and a good friend to his staff. Unfortunately, he's none of those things. He's too self-absorbed to notice that his staff constantly winces as he holds forth. Entertainment Weekly called the character the most brilliantly clueless boss on the planet. Gervais won a Golden Globe this year for Best Actor in a TV Comedy, and the series won for Best Comedy. It also won a Peabody. The Office is currently in reruns on BBC America Thursday nights, and it's out on DVD. A 2-hour special will be shown in October. Here's a scene in which Gervais, as boss David Brent, is doing a performance evaluation of his receptionist, Dawn.
Okay, if you had to name a role model, someone who's influenced you, who'd it be?
What, like a historical person?
No, someone in sort of general life, just someone who's been an influence on you.
Well, I suppose my mum. She's strong, calm in the face of adversity. God, I remember when she had a hysterectomy.
If it wasn't your mother, though. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a woman. It could be a... You
know, man. Okay, well, I suppose if it was a man, it'd be my father.
Not your father. I mean, no. Let's take your parents as red. I'm looking for someone in the sort of work-related arena who's
right.
Influenced.
Okay, well, I suppose Tim, then. He's always...
Well, he's a friend, isn't he? Not a friend. Someone in authority. Maybe I didn't, you know...
Well, then I suppose Jennifer.
I thought you said not a woman, didn't we? Or am I...
Okay, well, I suppose you're the only one who...
Oh. Embarrassing, that's backfire, isn't it? Oh, dear. Very flattering. Can we put me? I don't know.
Okay, Tim, then.
We said not Tim. So, do you want to put me or not?
Okay.
Right. So, shall I put strong role model?
Okay.
Yeah.
I love the distance between what the character thinks of himself and what he's really like.
Well, the blind spot is one of my favourite things. I mean, in life and comedy, I think it's funny and it's tragic. The way he talks about everyone loving him, that's a strange thing to say. To wear your popularity on a sleeve. He's one of those people that would rather hand out sort of business cards than bother getting to know people. He wants to say, David Brent, great bloke, you'll love me, I'll like you in return. Pretension has always interested me. I love pretension.
Some of my favorite shots in The Office are the cutaways to the people who work in the office. And every time David Brent is like telling a joke or describing what a great boss he is or, you know, how funny he is, everybody's like averting their eyes and looking at their shoes or staring at the wall or just like...
comedy's contextual. I mean, the funniest things in The Office aren't the people who are actually funny. They're the people who aren't funny. It's the faux pas, it's the failure that's amusing. I learned a lot from Laurel and Hardy. The funny thing wasn't Stan saying something stupid, it was the cut to Ollie, who then looked at him like he was the worst person in the world, and then he looked at us as if to say, why am I with this idiot? When Brent tells a bad joke, it's the fact that it goes to other people not laughing.
Now, you've created this story about life in an office. Have you ever worked in an office?
Yeah.
You
I
did?
Worked in an office for 8 years. That's where I got it all from. I was a middle manager. I went to management training seminars where those speakers talked rubbish for 2 days. I worked in an office for 7 or 8 years.
Are any of the storylines in The Office based on things that have happened to you?
Oh, let me think. Let's see. Episode 4, it's series 1, where we had the guy come in to train people. I remember the first training session I went to, it was held by some other managers when I was just, I think I was on reception, and they weren't really trained for it. And I remember they did role play, and I remember at the time thinking, this is ridiculous, because they sort of divvied it up between them, and they said, okay, I'm going to play a bad hotel manager, you play the customer. And it started off, I'd like to complain about my room. Oh, I don't care. Well, you should. You're the manager. Well, go to another hotel then. Well, I will. And they went, that's the wrong way to do it. And then they said, OK, now we'll do it the right way to do it. And he comes in and says, oh, I'd like to complain about my room. Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. What's up with it? Oh, it's just dirty. Oh, well, I'll have someone clean it and you can have it for free. Brilliant. It was like as black and white as that. And I remember thinking, I don't know what the moral is. So I quite like this spoofing role play.
Why don't we hear that scene? In the scene, David Brent is role playing with the guy who's running the seminar, and David Brent is supposed to be playing the customer, and the guy running the seminar is the hotel clerk.
I'd like to make a complaint, please.
Don't care.
Well, I am staying in the hotel.
I don't care, so it's not my shift.
Well, you're an ambassador for the hotel.
I don't care.
I think you'll care when I tell you what the complaint is. I think there's been a rape up there. I got his attention. Get their attention. Okay?
Right, so, well, some interesting points.
Very interesting points.
Flagged up there. It's not quite the point I was trying to make.
Different points to be made.
I'm more interested, really, in customer care.
So am I.
And the way that we would maybe
I should, as I thought, I should play the hotel manager because I'm used to that. I phased you. But you have a go, see if you can phase me, OK?
Hello, I wish to make a complaint.
Not interested.
My room is an absolute disgrace.
Don't care.
The bathroom doesn't appear to have been cleaned.
What room are you in?
362.
There is no 362 in this hotel. Sometimes the complaints will be false. OK? Good.
David completely misses the point in that, but that's so typical of him.
Of course, because he wants to be top dog. He wants to be the centre of attention. He couldn't, he hires this guy, but then he wants to be in charge. So he's just a child. You know, it's his football, and he's got to be, you know, the most important player.
Now, later in this same seminar, David turns the discussion into basically a Q&A about himself. And then he reveals he used to be in a band, and then he takes out his guitar and he starts playing some songs.
Awful.
Awful, exactly. In fact, let me play some of the songs.
Spaceman came down to answer some things. The world gathered round from paupers to kings. I'll answer your questions, I'll answer them true. I'll show you the way, you know what to do. Who is wrong and who is right? Yellow, brown, black or white? The spaceman, he answered, you no longer mind. I've opened your eyes, you're now colorblind. Racial. So, she's the serpent who guards the gates of hell. Pretty girl on the hood of a Cadillac, yeah. Broken down on Freeway 9. Take a look at her engine started. Leave a purring and a roll on five, bye bye. Free love on the free love freeway. The love is free and the freeway's long. I got some hot love on the hot love highway. Ain't going home cause my baby's gone. She's not dead. Long time later, see a cowboy crying. Says, hey buddy, what can I do? Says, I lived a good life, about 1,000 women. I said, well, why the tears? He says, because none of them was you.
What, you?
No, he's looking at a photograph.
Of you?
No, of his girlfriend. The video would
have
shown up.
Yeah, he sounds a bit gay at the moment.
It's not gay.
No.
Free love on the free love freeway. The love is free.
That's Ricky Gervais as David Brent in a scene from the British sitcom The Office, which is on BBC America and is also now on DVD. Now, Ricky, I know you used to be in a band. Are any of these songs you used to do for real?
No.
Good. I
wrote those.
I was really hoping you'd say that.
Yeah, no, of course not. No, I wrote those especially for the show. And they weren't spoof songs. They were meant to be sort of like more inappropriate. Free Love Freeway. I'm fascinated when British people who've never been out of their own town start writing songs about what it would be like to cross America. You know, they might as well talk about space travel. And I just thought it was, the joke there wasn't that he was bad or the songs were comical. It was the fact that it was so inappropriate. He's meant to be leading a training session, but he wants to show off. And I love that. Same as those people who take a guitar to a party. I just want to go, what are you doing? You know, it's just like, shut up. I just found it amusing that, again, a 40-year-old man who's meant to be doing something about customer care just wants to talk about being Bruce Springsteen.
The other great thing about this scene is that he does all these horrible things that make you so uncomfortable when a bad performer is singing in a small room. He looks people in the eyes in a kind of dreamy way. And
excruciating,
like,
isn't it?
Exactly.
Absolutely excruciating. The white man overbite to show he's really getting into it.
Yes, he bites his lip to show how sensitive he's being.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, as a musician yourself, is this something that you've done or that you've just...
I'll stop you there. Failed musician. Let's get it right.
Okay, that's fine. Is this something that you fear you've done yourself?
Failed musician, I'll have you know. yeah.
So is this...
No, I hope I was never like that.
But you've seen people that be that way.
And I wasn't 40. So I hope there's enough distance between me and David Brent there.
My guest is Ricky Gervais, star and co-creator of the BBC America sitcom The Office. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Ricky Gervais, co-creator and star of the British sitcom The Office. The Office is shot as a mock documentary because, you know, we're not only seeing the scenes in The Office, there are scenes in which the individual characters are talking one-on-one behind the scenes with the camera, sharing their insights into the office and their opinions of themselves and their personal philosophies. Why did you want to shoot it as a mock documentary?
Well, that sort of seemed the most obvious way to shoot it for a few reasons. One, we'd come out of in England, come out of about 5 years where docu-soaps were like the biggest thing on television. Normal people being followed around at work, and there was one called Hotel, one called Airport, and if you shoot like 10 people in a job, one of them's usually the character, and they were getting a bit famous. They were getting their Andy Warhol 15 minutes, and I was fascinated by that celebrity. That D-list celebrity, people's just a quest for fame on any level. I've always been fascinated with why people just want to be famous. You speak to people and they go, oh, I want to be famous. And you say, as what? They go, it doesn't matter. And I've never understood that. And I thought the best way to shoot it would be with their consent. So if it was a closed narrative and this guy was going around, you'd think, well, why is he acting like that? But because the camera's there, you go, oh, I get it. He thinks he's brilliant. He thinks the camera's his friend, and he doesn't learn. You know, if he just sat down and said, get the cameras out of here, life would be okay. But because he thinks this is his salvation, it's so much worse. So that's why, really. It just wrung out the awful, cringeworthy nature of the whole thing. And particularly when he looks down the lens at you, you suddenly go, oh, God, he's looking at me. And it makes it even more awful to watch because it suddenly draws you in. Because embarrassment is sort of is catching. If someone embarrasses themselves, you're sort of embarrassed as well.
I've got to get in another scene here, and this is a scene from the second season of The Office, which is now out on DVD. And in this season, two branches of this paper office have merged so that there are new people in David Brent's office now. And the manager from the second office is now David Brent's boss, but David Brent is still overseeing, you know, some of the new people who have come in. And, you know, he thinks he's so funny, and he's been telling this, like, off-color joke about the virility of black men. And a lot of people have been really offended by it. They've complained to his boss. So here he is with the new people on the staff trying to explain himself.
Now, some of you maybe didn't understand the jokes I was making and misinterpreted one and went to Jennifer. Okay. Little bit annoyed that you thought you'd go to Jennifer and not me. Who was it that complained? And it's not a witch hunt, just who was it that... Okay, well, two of you. Good. Right, you. Why did you think you'd go to Jennifer but not me?
Because I don't know you and I didn't like the kind of joke you were telling.
Wow.
And I don't think somebody in your position should be laughing at black people.
It's funny that only two of you thought that out of everyone, but, you know,
I didn't like it either.
Right, proves my point. Swindon. You're new. You don't know me.
I'm not new, and I found it quite offensive.
Right. Well, he didn't.
But
so...
what's he got to do with it?
Well, if he doesn't mind us laughing at him, what harm's been done is what...
But why is it that only black people should be offended by racism?
Good point. Yeah. First sensible thing you've said all day.
Yeah.
Because I say, come one, come all, we're all the same, yeah? Let's...
So is that why you've only got one black guy in the whole organisation?
Wrong, yeah? Indian fella in the warehouse. And there used to be one... Indian fella used to work up here. Lovely chap, he left, didn't like it. Up to him, you know. If I had my way, the place would be full of them. Wouldn't it, Gareth?
Yeah, well, half and half.
Yeah. You are half and half, aren't you?
I'm mixed race, yes.
Yeah. That is my favourite, yeah? That is what I'm trying to... That's the melting pot, please. So, there's your racist for you.
That's a scene from The Office, Season 2. My guest is Ricky Gervais, who plays David Brent and co-created the series. Ricky Gervais, I love that scene. He's just doing absolutely everything wrong, as if telling the joke wasn't problem enough. He just keeps getting himself deeper and deeper, and he has no idea what's wrong with anything that he says. And I'm wondering what kind of situations you've seen like this.
Well, the thing is, another theme about it is obviously men as boys, boredom, underachievement, wasting your life. But one of the other scenes is those people who know what political correctness is. And, you know, David Brent isn't a racist, he isn't a homophobe, he isn't particularly sexist. But to make sure you know he isn't, he acts inappropriately over the top. He goes too far. You know, if he just acted normally, no one would accuse him of any of those things. But he wants to overcompensate. Like when the black guy comes, he every chance he gets, he sidles up to him and says things like, "Oh, Denzel Washington's good, isn't he?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, he goes, not my favourite though. My favourite actor of all time is Sidney Poitier." And of course, he's just trying to get in black references. He wants to go up to him and go, "I'm not a racist. I'm not a racist." And it's just he doesn't know how to behave.
How did you first start performing?
Sort of by accident. I was the head of speech at a local radio station.
Does that mean like head of talk programming, head of speech?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I started popping up on air, just doing bits and pieces. And, you know, got a few emails saying, he's a funny guy, who's that? And they gave my own show. And then when I was doing my own show, someone from Channel 4... phoned and said, "We're starting this new thing, do you want to do an audition?" And I did the 11 o'clock show. So it all sort of started from there, really.
Can you describe what your radio show was like?
What was it like? It wasn't like any other radio show. I don't consider myself a broadcaster. I don't really think I'm that articulate. I'm lazy. I barely open my mouth when I talk. I'm not very good at DJing, so that gives you some idea.
Sounds great.
It was a couple of blokes in a room talking like we did in the pub, as opposed to going, "It's fast approaching 9:23, coming up is Radiohead, those guys are great." And when I first started, I opened the mic for the first time and I went, "And that's David Bowie." And my mate said, "Why are you talking like that?" I went, "I don't know." And then I just sort of put my feet up and started talking normally.
You have a couple of comedy shows that you've done, stand-up. One called Animals and one called Politics. Tell us about Politics. Are you actually political in it?
The joke is that I pretend to be. I come out like I'm going to try and change people's attitudes. And, of course, I get everything wrong. For example, when I talk about Nelson Mandela, I say Nelson Mandela, incarcerated for a quarter of a century, came out in 1990. So he's been out for about 14 years, and he hasn't reoffended. I really think he's going straight this time, which shows you prison does work.
That's really funny.
So it's stuff like that.
So you kind of specialise in people who are incomprehending.
Well, yeah. The jokes, I think the important thing is the joke's always got to be me, however subtle that is or obvious. I think at the end of the day, a comedian's got to be the target. Otherwise, he's cool and he's vain. And he's less funny.
Well, Ricky Gervais, a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Ricky Gervais recorded last April. His sitcom The Office is currently in reruns on BBC America. A two-hour special will be shown in October. The series is also out on DVD. A new American version is expected to premiere on NBC in early 2005, starring Steve Carell, who's well known for his work on The Daily Show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.